Good afternoon and welcome to our afternoon session. It is 1:30 PM on August 16th, 2022. And time to reconvene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County BUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Toni Olson, Board President. To my right, Board Vice President Rebecca Wolf.
To my left,
Board Secretary Sid Logan. John Harlow, CEO General Manager. Anne Spangler, General Counsel. Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director. Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board. Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. Morgan Schultzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. A reminder, please turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the deputy clerk's table near the entrance to the room. Are there any items to be added or changed on today's agenda?
Yes, Madam President, we could add item 3A and add places. Amendment 2022, the only A2 regular final minutes.
Thank you. Comments from the public this afternoon will be agenda item 2. And that is when the board will hear comments for those that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards, again, located with the deputy clerk at the entrance to the room. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 if by phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents that you would like distributed to the board, please leave them with the deputy clerk, and she will ensure that we receive them. Please note that all motions today receive a silent second for the board. This ensures that all topics are brought to the floor for discussion. I'll now ask you to join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will now move on to agenda item 2, comments from the public. Do we have anyone in the audience that would like to make a comment? Allison, do we have anyone telephonically or through Zoom?
We do have one. Looks like their hand just went down. We did just have one. Let's give it one more second. There's none. Okay, here it is. Mila Shoemake.
Is she on?
We've asked her to unmute.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Gayla.
Good afternoon, commissioners. It's good to see you all. I just have one comment today. I was at a public meeting for the city of Edmonds last week, and they are having some of the same issues that you are, trying to figure out how is the best way to get participation from the community, because everybody wants community participation. And they are finding that they get the greatest participation when they have a combination of in-person and Zoom participants. So there's still quite a few people who are hesitant to go to meetings when there are other people there. What is important that they have also been doing is on their Zoom meetings, they make it, first of all, very easy for people to comment and also to make suggestions and to respond. So if the, for example, if there's a survey and that's one that's on the website, for example, then that survey is also put on that Zoom meeting where people are there both in person and online, and they're finding that they get better participation that way. So I would just like to suggest, as you all are looking at the best way to get participation, that you think about doing something like that. And that would be having a hybrid meeting where you people could come in person, but they could also participate on Zoom. I know it's hard to do, but it is important, and I do appreciate your taking the time and effort to try to figure out the best way to get to the community and for the community to get back to you. So good luck on the process, and just take that suggestion into account. Thank you.
Thank you, Eva. Do we have anyone else?
We do not.
We do not. We will now move on to agenda item 3, the consent agenda. 3A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of August 2, 2022, as amended. 3B, bid awards, professional service contracts, and amendments. 3C, consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
Do we have anyone in the audience or virtual that has any comments on our consent agenda?
No raised hands.
Commissioner Wolf?
I have no questions.
I have no questions.
I don't have any questions, but I can make one up if you'd like. Yes. Well, I'm always, you know me, I go for the bid report line.
Like what they use?
A cat now. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. We will now move on to agenda item 4, public hearing and action. 4A, consideration of a resolution authorizing the general manager real estate services to execute an easement amendment of an easement previously granted by the district in favor of the city of Everett that allows the city to operate, repair, and maintain a recreational trail in a portion of the power line corridor property of the district commonly known as P&T right away, located in the city of Everett, Snohomish County, Washington. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
I will now convene a public hearing, and Maureen, we have been briefed on this. I don't know if Maureen is here. We were briefed on this very recently. Do we have anyone virtually or that has any questions?
There's no hands raised.
All right. Commissioner Wolf?
I have no questions on this part of the agenda.
Commissioner Logan?
No, we were thoroughly great this morning.
Thank you. I will now close the public hearing and call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Agenda item 5, items for individual consideration. 5A, 2023 budget notice of public hearing. I will call for a motion.
I move approval of the proposed notice of public hearing as presented in the packet for the 2023 proposed budget.
Here we go again. I'm sorry, I just had to say. I know the engineers start on that, they're already working on 2024, I think.
Yep, ongoing process.
Sarah Bond is with us this afternoon. Should we have any questions, Do we have any comments from the public? Commissioners, do we have any questions at this point?
I have none.
I have none.
This is the beginning of many, many hearings as we work through the 2023 budget.
We'll say it seems like we're getting started a little earlier over here. I mean, that's just my opinion.
No, it's the first meeting in August.
Second meeting in August.
Second? Okay. Okay, the money is October 1. Okay.
So if we think of something that we want to suggest to be added, when and how do we do that? Just go through Allison or? Not today. I have a thought, but not for today.
As I, Commissioner says, I think we move through the budget presentation. They're grouped in a certain sequence, and that will be the opportunity for us to have questions on particular items.
Yeah, okay.
Did I call for a vote on the motion?
You did not.
I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Agenda item 5C.
5B.
B. Don't mess me up here. 5B. Consideration of a motion accepting the second quarter 2022 financial conditions and activities monitoring report. I'll call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
We have, oh, hi, Julia. Sorry, I couldn't resist that.
I know what you're thinking. Everything's okay, nothing wrong. It's unusual to see me up here.
No, I'm thinking, oh, no.
You're not a desperate setup.
We're happy to have you. And
thank you.
Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so Scott Jones, District CFO, and I'm filling in for Julia today. We've got a quick presentation on this, like you normally see on a per quarter basis. The presentation is going to move pretty quickly. We don't have a lot of big items to note. If you've got questions, we'll deal with those, but we don't have any particularly unusual items. I want to mention a couple of things before we run through the presentation. Normally, so we give you two financial reports throughout the year. We give you a quarterly monitoring report, which is this, and it's a actual activity for this year compared to actual activity for the prior year. And so you'll see that four times per year. And then we also have a budget variance report, which Sarah does, which you've seen occasionally in the back of your board package. This has historically included budget information as well, and I've decided that it's just a little cluttered. So in my ongoing efforts of simplicity and concise and valuable, we're taking the budget information out of this one, and so you've got the budget report for your variance report that you'll have occasionally that you see now. And this one is
year.
Right. And okay. This one is just going to be this year versus last year.
Right,
so if you decide you don't like it, let us know and we'll change it however you want. All of our reports are dynamic, so we welcome feedback all the time, of course. But what you're going to see today is just this year versus last year. Allison, with one of these buttons.
It should just be right and left.
Right and left. So I point to you.
To the screen's fine.
To the screen?
It's not working.
It's not working, but that's okay.
It's on.
Is it on? That's a good question, too. All right. Listen, I see you behind the podium about once a year. We've got a whole bunch of smarter people that you normally see behind the podium.
Yeah, you're just going to see the magic.
Right, exactly.
We're not going to buy that one.
So, by the way, I'm filling in for Julia. She's traveling today, so... see her, of course. Here's your electric and generation systems. It's fairly straightforward stuff. We're going to dive into a couple of these components in a second. I'll just note that revenues are up and net income is up and expenses are up. And let's jump into those just a little bit more. Retail sales, we're seeing a little bit of an uptick. That's a little bit of weather and a little bit of the small rate increase that we had last year. Wholesale revenue is sort of the bigger kick that we've got going on this year. That's a little bit of late water in June. We got a little bit of excess capacity coming in late in the quarter, which kind of kicked up our available resources to sell. Prices are up a little bit too, so we'll see those in a second. So we're feeling pretty good about revenue so far this year. And we're actually looking at the forecast into next year too. Wholesale revenue is actually looking somewhat strong for next year as well. So I'm optimistic about that. So this is megawatt hours billed. So this is what we're sending out to the customers, and this is how much they're paying, earning back in. So the numbers in the boxes, the 2221, 2083, those are the megawatt hours that we billed to the residential customers. The numbers out to the right are the average price they paid for megawatt hours. This is pretty consistent. You'll see the wholesale numbers at the bottom. That's a kick up in volume. It's a kick up in price, which is what we were just talking about. On the expense side, the only thing I'll note here is everything looks pretty consistent and as expected. O&M expenses are a little bit up. That's a couple of things. We're still seeing a little bit of a concern. We're taking a pretty conservative posture still on collections, so we're reserving a little bit for collections, although we're seeing some progress there, so you'll probably hear more about that in the coming months. We're seeing some uptick in pricing, of course, from supply chain pressures, and there's just a little bit of uptick in activity for O&M, but we're not terribly alarmed with this O&M number yet. We expected upward pressure this year for O&M for all those reasons. So this is the inflow of power supply into our system. This is what we're paying. You'll see uptick in BPA slice. You'll see some cheaper market purchases. We're getting some homegrown supply through BPA. So market purchases are down a little bit. Nothing on here is particularly unusual. Prices fluctuate a little bit, but they're not fluctuating too much.
Scott, I have a question about this one as compared to the one two previous. Four. So this one shows that slice is costing us $28 per megawatt hour. Mm-hmm. And the previous one shows us selling on the wholesale market for $29. Is that predominantly slice that we're selling?
Yeah.
And so,
you're getting extra output.
We make a dollar a megawatt hour on.
Well, that's
of net profit.
That's blended for the whole 6 months.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that, for example, earlier in the second quarter, the volumes that we were getting were a little bit lower, but the prices were higher. Later in the second quarter, we were getting higher volumes, but the prices were a little lower.
Okay.
And so we do have to remind ourselves that we're looking at the whole 6 months in total. Yeah, so we're averaging about a dollar.
Okay.
We go out to the market and buy. Those could be perhaps on peak, and then we get a higher price for those, but the volumes are so low it's not moving prices around.
Right. So if we look at last year, we were paying $34 for slice, and our wholesale sales, we were averaging $21.
Right. And so it's all about timing, right? So there'll be times where when the heat hit last year in June, where we're probably going to be paying a little bit more and getting the volumes that we need, and we're not selling anything off the market. You got shoulder months where we have little activity where the need goes down, and so we'll see it in the market. But we still don't need the power, so we'll sell it.
Well,
it's a remark, and this comes from a little bit of a history of me having dealt with trading floor stuff way back in a prior life. And we always track this stuff on quarterly and annual bases, and it looks unusual sometimes because you can make tons of money or pay tons of money in a particular hour or in a particular day when prices may skyrocket. But when you look at it for the whole year, those kinds of situations are so blended. Now, what we might be able to do, and people behind me are going to cringe when I volunteer to supply information, but one thing we probably could do is we could put at the bottom of this the range of market prices that we're seeing, say the period. And the market was as low as this and as high as this, which is easy for us to do.
Is that what you would like to do?
No, I was just more interested in what we, I mean, I know we have that, we get more slice of the sliced product most of the time than we need.
Yep.
And we sell that. And so I was just, I guess it's a better question when we're looking at the year end numbers.
So I'll put it in my head
and I'll come back and say, ask the question again.
And you could have a year where you have very few high margin but very impactful hours.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of pretty mild unimpactful hours.
Yeah.
And so those averages might mean more at the end of the year, but they could still be skewed.
Right. And I also understand we buy flies because we need it to meet load.
Right.
And so selling it is just extra, is just part of it. But
right.
I just was commenting. I never really compared those two.
Yeah, this one, and just from an operational standpoint, I think Jason's on the line. He can chime in if he wants. But we've had an interesting operational year because I think, and this is information coming from their side of the house, but the snow melt was a bit late this year too. And so we're seeing that second quarter, the volumes kick up a little bit just because that snow melt actually didn't come in as early as it might normally come in. It's a fascinating thing about power supply out here. The world that I came from, you measure your power supply in terms of piles of coal, or and out here, you know, you literally are translating snowfall into power. The amount of snow we get in November, December, January, February translates to battery power in a sense. It's fascinating.
And the time it comes down.
Yeah. And the time it comes down and the time it melts and all those things.
Right. Hey, Scott, this is Jason. I'm remote today. This is Jason Zyskowski, AGM over power supply. And Scott's exactly right. You know, it was really cold early in the year, in the spring, and we didn't see that runoff come till really the June timeframe. One thing I just wanted to point out on this slide is you see on the slice the lower price of $28. And that's because, you know, we pay a pretty flat cost for slice from year to year. That stays relatively the same. But we are having a good water year. And so, you know, the cost we're paying per megawatt hour is lower this year. So that's a good thing. And, you know, hopefully the rest of the water year just continues to be good.
Jason articulated that much better than I did.
He said exactly what I was going to, kind of what mine wasn't going to be quite as professional, but I just want to say I know we have a lot of snow this year, and because of the melt, you know, the berries, the bears couldn't have their berries, so they're getting into the garbage cans.
Right.
My daughter had a mama bear and three cubs at her doorstep a couple of times. You know, they're looking for food because of, the berries weren't there.
The frequency with which bears get into your trash in the spring is indicative of what the power output
is.
No, I mean,
let's move on.
Of the many data points we track.
Let's see if one is
brown. Yeah. Do we need to start tracking bear activity?
Right. There's a wide variety of data points that the smart people at the district track. Moving on.
Yes.
Let's see if I woke this up. Not much to see here other than CapEx. CapEx is up just a little bit. A lot of that is driven by a couple of bigger projects. We've got Camino Island. We've got AMI, of course, starting to spend some money there. So this is all as expected. We've got a orange bar on that because CapEx is up from the prior year, but it's not really an unexpected number.
Yeah, but recall it's below budget.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually chasing budget on the budget side, yeah. Another recap on the electric and generation. This is the same graph that we had before. But again, on balance, nothing particularly surprising here. Financial indicators, from my perspective, these look pretty normal and as expected. You'll see our S&P rate increase down there at the bottom that layered in that second quarter. That was a nice touch for the year. The rest of the financial indicators look consistent and as we would expect. And then nothing particularly noteworthy here. I'll just point out that new customer connections continue to ramp up. Mm-hmm. We've broken the 370,000 active customer for now. I think it was maybe 350s when we got here. So it's continuing to creep up nicely.
Those are meters.
Yes, those are meters.
Those aren't people. Those are meters.
And Commissioner Olson, I'm glad you said that, because it's one of the things that we talk about a lot internally, is trying to shift a little bit when we talk about the district to say we serve 370,000 meters and a population of, and I think it's probably 850 to 900,000 or so.
Thank you.
Yeah, good catch. Water, Brant's here if you've got any difficult questions. It's very, very consistent year over year. Capital contributions are down just a little bit. That's just kind of an ebb and flow in activity. And same thing for CapEx. I think probably most of that CapEx is Warm Beach. I would assume that our Warm Beach project is accounting for a lot of that. Same here on the financial indicators. I mean, things look consistent and as expected here. I wouldn't say that there's anything particularly noteworthy on the financial indicators, all pointing to good financial health. Same here, little downturn in customer connects, but still nonetheless continuing to grow. I think that's our last slide. Any other questions or comments?
I just want to thank you.
All right, thanks. I didn't think we were going to talk about bear activity today, but thank you, Commissioner Wolf, for bringing that up. It really is a true statement. All right.
Thanks
all.
I will now call for the vote on acceptance of the second quarter 2022 financial monitoring report.
Aye.
We will now move on to agenda item 5C, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO general manager or his designee to execute an environmental attribute purchase and services agreement with
I thought it was 3 degrees when the guy, the gentleman presented last time. Was it all at 3 degrees?
I apologize. I'll start this over again. For some reason, I
think it's 3 degrees, but I could be wrong.
All right, we'll go at this again. Consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO general manager or his designee to execute an environmental attribute purchase and services agreement with Degrees 3 Transportation Solutions LLC and a Clean Fuels Program Reporting Requirements Agreement with Quelco Energy Corporation. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Do we have anyone phone or virtual with questions?
No hands raised.
I have some.
I was just turning to
you. I have a few questions. Just for clarification, this is an interesting and complicated project. And excuse my voice. So we're the buyer. Excuse me. We're selling the energy that is being produced by Qualco. We're selling the benefits to 3 degrees for Oregon, for the Oregon, the Oregon Clean Fuels Program relating to rechargers in Oregon. But one of my questions is, wish I had a better voice. 3 degrees is a for-profit company, right? It's a for-profit company.
Yes.
And are they a publicly advertised, like on the stock market and all of that? Do you know? public company?
We may have the answer to that question, or if not, Garrison may have that.
Can you hear me? Yes. This is Ashley Mace with Power Supply. I'm not positive they're publicly traded. I do know that they are a certified B Corporation, which means they have to have audited standards for social and environmental performance, but I'm not positive whether they're publicly traded. We can get back to you on that.
So I remember, was it you who presented beforehand? Is it Three Degrees?
Yeah, so I think their official name.
I asked a question last month or whenever, that it was probably because the planet could not survive if it went more than 3 degrees in our atmosphere.
Yeah, on the name, I think their official LLC name is Degrees 3 Transportation Solutions or whatever that was, but I've always known them more, you know, unofficially as 3 degrees. That's how they present themselves typically.
Okay, and we had some confidential information that I read, but I need to read it more carefully. I kind of ran out of time for that salon. But I was a little concerned about the redaction of all the proprietary information. But so who's going to have access to that call though, on the monitoring?
My understanding, so this is Ann Spangler, General Counsel. Mm-hmm. The information has been provided to you. It's accessible to Qualco.
Right.
And it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen occasionally that we do business with companies that have proprietary information,
right.
And it's an exemption under the Public Records Act. There's another law that protects proprietary and trade secret information.
So do you have any concerns about that? I mean, we're known for, we want to be transparent, and we want everything that we deal with to be transparent generally, so.
And are you asking, there's two pieces that were redacted. There's the pricing information and the monitoring plan.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the monitoring plan relates to how Qualco and the district will provide information to 3 degrees, which 3 degrees then will use for the compliance with the Oregon State Program.
So I was just trying to imagine the reason why they're competitive. I mean, they're competing with other companies that do this sort of thing. And so I guess that's the main reason it's proprietary and redacted.
I think they feel they've put a fair amount of time and effort and, you know, resources into understanding the program and developing the specific type of monitoring plan that will be needed,
mm-hmm.
that if they put it out publicly, their competitors might have access to and not have to spend that time.
So we're comfortable with that.
Yes, I think we do make an effort to minimize what we redact, so then there is a statutory definition
mm-hmm.
of what that proprietary trade secret information is. So we do take a look at that.
Okay, well, I mean, I think their goal is great. Their purpose of the organization, the company. So I just, you know, I'm just a little bit off put by just the redactions. But if you guys think it's a good way to go, then.
And from what I can see, they are not publicly traded company or a private organization.
Okay. What did you call it? A B
Corporation.
B Corporation. And doesn't that relate to their purpose?
Yeah. I don't know all the details, but I know that they have to have certain standards for environmental and sustainability,
right. Social.
And social performance,
yeah.
Things
right.
like that. So.
Okay.
It's a voluntary thing that any company could choose to do.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions. Mr. Logan.
I have no question.
I have no questions, but boy, is this complex. I'm glad I don't have questions. We have a motion on the table. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Agenda item 5D, consideration of a resolution ratifying amendment number 1 of a license agreement with EIP Communications 1 LLC and authorizing the Assistant General Manager, Distribution and Engineering Services of Public Utility District Number 1, Snohomish County, to execute number two of said license agreement. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
Do we have anyone virtually or by phone? Customer input.
There are no hands raised.
We have Nick Johnston with us to answer any questions that we might have. Miserable. I have no questions.
Can I get a motion?
I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We will now move on to agenda item 5E, consideration of a resolution amending prior resolutions designated an authorized representative and alternate to obtain funding from and coordinate matters relating to the district's requests for certain disaster assistance funds from appropriate federal and state agencies for multiple FEMA FEMA events. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
We've done these appointments. Are we rotating? Where we are reappointing? Because I believe we have a retirement, right?
Correct. This is Ann Spangler again. That's correct, Commissioner Olson. We normally do the appointments on an incident-by-incident basis. Mm-hmm. Since we have a retirement, we're trying to cover all of the open incidents.
Do we have Tim Perling? I don't see him. We have Tim Perling or Leslie Moss. Do you have any questions, commissioners?
I have no questions.
Neither do I.
I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Agenda item 5F, consideration of a resolution appointing Sean D. Hunstock as deputy auditor for the district. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
We have Scott Jones here. Should we have any questions on this resolution? Questions?
I have no questions.
Do we have anyone telephonically or virtually with questions?
There's no question.
I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. We will move on to agenda item 5G, consideration of a resolution appointing Angela Johnston as treasurer of the district. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
We have Scott Jones is available again. Should we have any questions on the resolution?
I have no questions.
I have no questions. Do we have anyone?
We do not.
All right, thank you. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. We will now get on to agenda item 6, the CEO General Manager's Report. John.
Thank you. I have a couple items to share this afternoon. First up, from our Customer Energy Services Group, specifically our community solar engagement. This is community solar at Walter Hall, which is a South Everett solar project. The team is continuing to support outreach events in the community to gather feedback and support for our new project. Customer Energy Services has supported several community events with our team to provide discount information and bilingual CSRs. Additionally, the team is working to translate materials into multiple languages to ensure all customers are informed and invited to share feedback as the project develops. The specific events were the National Night Out at Walter Hall, where the project is being sited, and the Connect Casino Roads Carnival. At both events, we were present along with other community organizations to answer general customer service questions and to provide details about the upcoming project being sited in their neighborhood and potential community benefits. The feedback was in person and a requirement of a grant process with the Clean Energy Fund. We are currently working on a flyer that will be available in 5+ languages that we will share with many of the multifamily housing buildings in the neighborhood. Also inviting customers to share their thoughts via email. Some of these steps are from a compliance standpoint, it is required for our grant, as I previously pointed out, but more importantly, as we continue from a strategic standpoint to elevate our focus on our communities, it is a value to ensure the community directly receiving the benefit and sharing the resource have an opportunity to discuss and influence our design and plans. And then specifically on our solar progress, the solar website changes went live on Monday with things such as the solar contractors being removed and additional customer educational information being added. The contractors remaining on the website that were remaining prior to them being removed were a relic of some of the older iterations of the program that required registered solar contractors. There was insurance and application implications. With changes to state law, there is no requirement for solar contractors to be registered. We have replaced the list of contractors with a link to the Washington Solar Energy Industries Association. This is a group of contractors that have agreed to business principles. This is important because some of the contractors working in our territory are not sharing all the right information with customers, and they do have a pretty aggressive and robust sales team on the ground in our service area. This is our way of pointing customers to contractors that are answering the right questions and understand our process. As far as the information, the additional information or new information in the FAQs now on our website, many have to do with how customers can ask the right questions of a contractor when considering this purchase. We want to make sure customers understand what are and aren't actual truthful claims of government credits, system size, and utility interaction to ensure they have all the right information. An update on our solar installations to date, we have surpassed just in the 7 months year to date more than we've installed annually ever before. We are at currently 437 solar installations year to date through July. Last year, which was the previous highest total for the entire year, was 395. So I think that it goes a little bit to, again, there is some aggressive solar contractors in our area, plus the incentives and other things that are promoting solar. Out of our finance group, throughout the pandemic, keeping our meter reading teams at full efficiency has been tough. Between pandemic-related issues, weather, and other staffing challenges for the PUD and our contract partner, TrueCheck, our bill estimation process has been used more than we had hoped. But some good news. And let me point out, too, that we had done a significant upgrade on our estimation process, more data points, and the team really did a good job making that more efficient. But as you all know, we have a history, and when we start having to do estimations, we internally, as well as some of our customers, get a little fidgety. But again, some great news. We estimated less than 1% of all customer bills for the months of June and July. Staffing levels are finally stabilizing, and we are managing routes more efficiently, combined with some occasional overtime to ensure we stay caught up. And our teams have worked closely with our TrueCheck partner to help them stay fully staffed and working efficiently as well. All this has culminated in a near 100% read rate for the past 2 months. A job well done by the teams and the managers. And again, just a huge kudos. From our ITS team, ITS is consolidating the SAP system platform. They successfully migrated SAP gateways and self-service IVR systems to a standardized operating system and database platform. We are enabling high availability for these systems that will help ensure the technology is even more resilient to support good customer experience during the system patching and other future events. Out of our power rates and transmission, the electric building fire door replacement project is nearing completion. Fire doors in the electric building lobby and the fourth floor have been successfully installed, and final cleanup and finish work is wrapping up. The contractor will be training staff on operation and maintenance. The project is scheduled for final completion in the first half of September. And our Jackson Powerhouse tenant improvement construction is ongoing. Demolition in the powerhouse control room and office spaces is complete, and framing and utility rough-in has started. Construction is on schedule, and Trico's estimated completion remains mid-December of this year. And just a couple other items. Brenda White and I met with Dr. Darrell King, who is the interim president at Everett Community College, and some of his team. We discussed a number of topics and specifically touched on the great partnership that we have with our apprenticeship programs, and also looking at other ways to collaborate on workforce development. Also the tremendous engagement and partnership around energy efficiency and conservation that we've had with the community college, and the current and future opportunities with the clean buildings effort and how best to help them with their facilities. We also received a tour, which was very inspiring to see all the great stuff the college has ongoing. And then lastly, just as an FYI, I'll be attending the first in-person NERC meeting tomorrow in Vancouver, and be a part of the members representative committee meeting tomorrow afternoon. And that's it. Open for any questions or thoughts, comments, criticisms.
I have a question. No criticism. So it's great that we're going to have things in 5 written languages. I'm curious if we have the means to, for over the phone and other services, that we can communicate in pretty much any language with a customer and with deaf customers. We have those kind of capabilities for CSR?
Well, the schools do.
I know we have some. I will let Jeff, do you want to handle that one? Yeah.
This is Jeff Feinberg, Senior Manager, Energy Services, representing PAM, ADM of Customer Energy Services. We have a language line available to CSRs, and they can get an interpreter of any language whenever they're on the phone with the customer. But for these flyers, we are using an external service to help us get it translated.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
So, did I hear you right? The customer is interfacing with the CSR, and then there is a translation package?
Yeah, so whenever we have
a live person?
It is, actually. Whenever we have a language call, yeah, so the CSR can immediately ask, you know, what language would be helpful. We put them on a brief hold, we bring the interpreter on, and the service can provide, you know, any number of languages.
Yeah, the schools do a really good job with that. And so the teachers are informed, like, what number to call to do that. It's cool. It's very cool. Good call.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
We will now move on to commission business, agenda item 7, 7A, commission reports. Commissioners, do we have reports? Commissioner?
Well, I have anything to do to report.
I have no reports either. We will now move on to agenda item 7B, the commissioner events calendar. Do you have any comments on that, commissioners?
Trying to find it. Let's see. Oh, yeah. No questions, no.
We will now move on to agenda item 8, governance planning. Our governance planning calendar. Do we have any questions or changes?
Mr. Ball? No, that's looking at, I'm getting excited about the fall ribbon cutting. You know, while the weather's still dry.
Oh, that would be fun. Commissioner Hall. Is there any more business to come before us this afternoon, John?
We have none.
Hearing none, it is 2:19 p.m. and we are adjourned.